Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and this podcast is brought to you by 42 Degrees with 4 convenient locations in Omaha.
Open 8 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week by your mom's house. I'll see you there.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
We are celebrating National Adoption Month in November.
We should adopt a kid, just have him hang out here. Like all of us be
there. I don't think anyone would approve that.
not a chance. Just kind of leave food out for it?
We'd dress him up.
We'd see him in the mornings, and we'd all leave by 10. We'll say, see you later.
Yeah. But you right?
Then when he reaches a school age, he can go to school.
Well, who's going to tote him to school then?
Sure. We'll take turns.
Who's driving him
we'll
to school? No, we won't. Yeah, we're busy.
Some places have an office dog. We'll have an office orphan.
I just think...
I don't like it.
I don't think it's a good idea either, but I'm just saying.
They don't experiment with kids like they do animals, but... Can you imagine that kid if all of us were the dads?
No.
The influences on that kid.
Oh.
We've all screwed up our individual kids. We're going to come together and screw up one royally.
All, yeah, just all us dudes. So they probably would turn us down, you're right, yeah, so that's just a bad idea.
That, and I believe it costs money for the whole adoption ordeal.
Well, a kid could sit right over there in that big chair you got.
And you think, is the company going to pay for that?
No, we did the vote.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have to fork it up.
Yeah, but is this state going to let you adopt two guys adopt a kid?
Oh, I forgot. Wait, more, there'll be six guys. Six guys. You're in this, too, by the way. You're in this, too. You're only going to see him on Friday.
Well, if we're going to leave him here all day, we're going to have everybody else down the hallway chip in, too. So, I mean, it's...
Leave him here all day.
He just becomes a child of the building?
Yeah. Like I say.
Okay.
He's the office orphan. He lives here.
Maybe we could get him to clean the bathrooms.
Hey, there you go.
How about this?
See?
How about just garbage? Yeah, I got a full thing of garbage over here.
Take that out, son.
Somebody just went, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll adopt a kid and make him take out the trash and clean the place. That'll save us some money in the long run.
We're tenants now. It's a dump.
New survey says that nearly 8 in 10 American adults, regardless of political party, consider birth control a basic part of women's health care.
Well, then vote that way if 8 in 10 of you do.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Despite widespread support for access to publicly funded birth control, Power to Decide CEO Jenny Ehrlich says that it remains elusive for 19 million American women. She says contraception, including birth control pills, condoms, shots, IUDs, implants, are critical to preventing unintended pregnancies. And everybody's for it, so let's get on board, I guess, is what she's saying.
But they vote against
it. I can't vote for it.
But a lot of the red states vote against that.
But I can't say that at church.
Yeah, that's right. I can't disappoint my parents. I got to
act all anti-abortion-y at church.
And then go bang in the parking lot. And go show Tom in the parking lot.
That's right.
Well, the SOTOM is okay. They should encourage a little more of that.
That's true.
Because, my daddy says
that does not lead to any potential kind of abortion. I'd like to see a bigger campaign for oral sex. Go oral.
You know, I've been to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Me child. You like a licky dicky.
Oh, yeah. When you're having the talk. Listen, son.
Go oral.
Or you can have a talk with your daughter, too.
No.
Sorry.
That'd be kind of creepy.
Have teenage
for the
daughters.
Dad, the dad to talk to their daughter about pro-oral.
I don't think you can have that talk.
No,
I don't think.
I think mom might be mad.
Yeah, mom.
We'd have that talk with our adopted son, though.
Don't be like
we'd
your
have
mother.
We'd have to get a boy we're going to adopt to a girl right around here. There's all kinds of problems with that. Yeah. Todd would have that talk. And that would be wrong. We should move on from the subject.
An NYU survey finds that 3 out of 4 women say that they've been harassed while using mass transit in New York City. Researchers say that women told them it ranges from verbal abuse to unwanted touching and assault. 42% of women surveyed said at night they'd rather pay to take an Uber or Lyft, while 16% say that they'd get a taxi.
Well, if you're crushed up against somebody in the subway, I mean, and you can't, you just don't do anything. I'm sure a lot of guys actually grab, right?
Apparently like, so, yeah. Yes.
Hey, girl.
Researchers say for $26 to $50 a month more in travel expenses for women just because of that. It costs them more to get around.
Let's save this for Henley. He's in the subway probably every damn week in New York City.
See he may have something on somebody, that.
Somebody's feeling him up, you know.
His fries go through the shake, girl.
Or he's probably chubbing up himself.
Well, chubbing, you can't stop. But you can't grab. You can't thrust
you
your
can't
hips.
You can't thrust it in.
Don't thrust your hips, right.
But you can't stop the chubbing.
No, you can't stop the chubbing. Never stop chubbing. That's another conversation we have. By the way, the adoption agency is already turning us down. They're hearing this conversation. You hear this? Like 2 minutes in.
There's a preemptive strike.
Oh, they turned us down before the conversation even started. Right, right.
They can have their own. They can all breed, but we ain't giving them one.
There's only so much we can do about that breed and stuff.
Don't stop the chubbing. That was a Journey song, wasn't it?
Never stop the chubbing.
Don't
stop the chubbing.
Now, let's write that out to about a 4.5-minute song.
No, it wouldn't be funny then. No, parody songs are not funny.
Four verses.
For one line. Yeah.
Yeah, as funny as that was. Imagine that for 4.5 minutes. That kind of comedy for 4.5 minutes, you might not be able to stand that.
Yeah, that's Bob and Tom.
Yeah, you'd fall over laughing, rolling around on the floor. So there's a new story going around about diets. They say that maintaining weight loss might be done easier by changing to a low-carb diet.
They've been researchers saying low-carb for years. Atkins, low-carb.
At Boston Children's Hospital, they looked at stabilizing lost weight and some overweight people over the course of just 20 weeks with various carbohydrate diets.
I'm starving!
I think that, what's the caveman diet? The paleo one?
Paleo. Yeah. How many carbs in paleo?
Not
right?
A lot of carbs because...
They didn't make bread in dinosaur era.
Caveman did not grow wheat.
Yeah.
Caveman didn't make taco shells.
Meat, fruits, and vegetables.
Now, the findings of this particular study indicate that restricting carbohydrates is a better strategy for weight loss than restricting calories because of its association with metabolism. And they're saying this diet could lead to weight loss of about 20 pounds over a few years. Other people say, you know, any diet that you get on,
it's about calories.
If you stick to it. No, they just said it wasn't about calories.
Okay. You stick to it, it works.
If you stick to it, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
They invent diet.
Get on a diet, stick on
to it,
you're going to lose weight.
Right. Some are better than others, right?
Even then, not a whole lot. And when you say diet, I mean a reasonable diet.
Beer diet is not going to lose weight.
But if that's all
you're not eating. You're not eating.
No, but you got to have the fries with it.
Yeah.
Even then, if that's all you're having is beer and fries.
9 beers. Can I have 9 beers and some fries, please? 3 times a day, too. That's a balanced dinner.
I just don't like lettuce.
I want to skip meals.
Lynn Dog is anxiously awaiting the hog wild fries. He's got that on his mind, you can tell.
Yeah,
just stick to your diet.
How long before the fries get here?
Everybody's fat.
Natty Light.
Natty.
Everybody loves some natural light.
Or likes it.
I did in high school.
There you go.
Your mom and I love that. You should steal it from us.
They've come up with a new 77-pack of beer.
Is it $4?
77.
Yeah.
Why?
Are they all 12 ounces?
Because they were created in 1977.
Natty Light 77, okay.
Yeah, they will sell this 77-pack of beer.
$29.99.
For a limited time, exclusively in College Park, Maryland, home of the University of Maryland.
That's it?
That's it.
No place else?
No place else. That's where you go for your 77-pack of Natty Light.
And it's a short drive from the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, yeah, hell yeah. The Terrapins get drunk on that, man. I wonder if that's the favorite beer on that campus, or they don't like it because it was brewed there, you know?
If I were a new Supreme Court justice that really liked beer, I'd go buy all the other justices.
Mm-hmm.
I'd buy nine of those. 977 packs. Right. And bring them to my new buddies.
Nothing but the best.
Kegger this weekend.
Right. You know, Ginsburg can down them.
She's shotgunning beers in her chambers.
Kegger this weekend.
She's deceptive. Right. I bet you she is, man.
No kegger needed. 77 packs.
That's awful. That beer is no good.
I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, does that come in just one box, the 77 pack?
Yeah.
It's separated into seven packs?
No.
No.
It's not 11 seven packs. It's one 77 pack.
It appears just to be a box of a lot of beers.
Box of beer. I like it.
What are the dimensions on that box? Do you have that handy?
No, I do not.
You don't have that information?
I do not.
Sure, like a picture.
Have you ever said that?
I've never heard.
Have you ever said that to anybody? What's the dimensions on that box? Why don't you come try it out there, Todd?
That's a good pickup line.
Yeah, it is. That is a good pickup line. Hey, girl, what's the dimensions on that box? That work every time.
Yeah, well, it's less than four cases.
Right. That would be heavy.
Yeah, that'd be a heavy box.
Yeah, it looks like
you
of
those.
You probably need some help carrying it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would. It'd probably be hard to find that help, too.
Right.
Hey, somebody help me carry this beer. Yeah, it's Keith. No. Why don't you just leave that
warning, it's not heavy.
Yeah, it looks like it's a six-sided box.
Yeah.
Big, tall, heavy-duty box, yeah.
Cool.
It's odd.
Party.
Yeah, that would be a party if you had one of those at your house.
Oh, my God.
It would have to be a party because, you know, you're not going to drink it.
You invite the guys over, drink the natty.
You could probably handle it by yourself, but you have to put it over your shoulder or something. 65 pounds.
No, you meant drink it. You're not going to drink it all by yourself.
It weighs 65 pounds.
No, it's not like you're trying to find a food that pairs well with the Keystone Light.
Natty Light.
Natty Light. Come on.
They're both gross.
The difference is doesn't Natty Light have a greater alcohol content?
Does it?
Or am I thinking of Natty Ice?
I don't think so.
I think it might be the Natty Ice. That's why that was always a choice.
Beer.
That was for the hardcore dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Todd, did you, at Yellowstone National Park, did you see the story about this geyser that is spewing garbage now?
I'm sure people throw garbage in the geysers all the time.
They do. Yeah. But this particular geyser doesn't always spew back.
But it's spewing back. Now,
hang on.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
I'll get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, it was an obvious clip, and it's a great clip. John C. Riley with us. John, thanks for phoning the program.
The sisters.
My
brothers.
Pleasure. Good morning. Wow, it's fun to hear that again.
That movie is such a cult classic. Were you surprised it wasn't a bigger hit at the time? Because it was really, it's a funny movie, man.
Well, you know, as a friend of mine said to me, he's like, John, you can either have a box office hit or a cult movie. You can't have both.
That's a great
Can't have a box office hit, a cult movie is not a bad, booby prize.
Yeah, you're right.
That movie, I tell you, every time I meet a musician, whether they're like a up-and-coming guy or someone from the Eagles, which happened to me once at a basketball game, the first words out of their mouth are, oh, my God, Dewey Cox. I lived it. I lived that.
I lived Dewey Cox.
Yeah.
We were talking off the air, John.
Thank you for bringing that up, by the way, because I remember asking, I think it was Cary Elwes, would you rather have a box office smash or a cult classic when we were talking about Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just I could tell he was giving me a funny look when I answered it, when I asked that question.
Yeah, but he's going around pipping that movie. Oh, well, let's get that later on. Okay, John.
But
John,
thank you for bringing that up, John.
Yeah, John. Wow, we played it for you, and thanks for enjoying that. Now, John, also, we were talking on the air, too, that people forget, and we don't, that you're such a great dramatic actor. What do you like better? Because, I mean, I loved you in Gangs in New York. I loved you in Boogie Nights. And
you think people should give you more credit? Because everybody, you know, who quotes you remembers movies like that. But, well, what else were you in that? A Perfect Storm? You were in that?
Yeah.
Great
dramatic
roles?
Perfect Storm is not quite as quotable as Step Brothers. So I understand why people quote Step Brothers. But, look, the fact is I like to be employed. So whether it's comedy or drama or whatever, like, as long as it's work that I believe in, I'm excited to be getting to be an actor, you know?
Now, you mentioned Step Brothers. People are always begging you guys. Is there going to be a Step Brothers too?
Yeah, that's something. It's a perennial question.
Yeah,
and
I know.
There's no movement on that, unfortunately. No movement to report on that.
Let's talk about the new project, The Sisters Brothers. Explain this.
Yeah.
A quick synopsis of this movie.
Well, it's about two brothers who are hired killers in 1851 in the Pacific Northwest in San Francisco. So me and Joaquin Phoenix play those brothers, and we've been sort of hired assassins our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the, you know, we've been doing it for a while, and we're looking for this guy who has a way to get gold out of rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And our boss has told us to kill him, and then it's complicated from there. We start to fall in with the guy. And anyway, it's a Western. It's kind of a road movie, but it's also a really amazing look at brotherhood.
Did you hear more
about what it feels like to be a brother? And there's all these family bonds and stuff in the movie. People are really reacting to it in a great way, and some of the best reviews of my whole life for that movie.
Well, first of all, I love you and Joaquin. But have you ride a horse before this?
Yeah, I guess you could say I rode on top of a horse before this.
Because I've talked to...
You should ride on top of the horse, by the way.
As opposed to actually riding the horse, you know, like on Sisters Brothers, I learned to really ride. You know, we're on those horses every day pretty much, so it was a more comprehensive horse riding experience, let's say.
So did you...
It was fun. I got to ride horses, shoot guns, drink fake whiskey, like every kid's cowboy dream.
Is that iced tea in those whiskey bottles in a movie like that?
What is that fake whiskey?
Yeah, sometimes it's iced tea. Sometimes it's like just like Coke with a bunch of water in it. I forgot what the French formula was. It was a French guy who directed this movie, so they had all kinds of... The food they would give us on set, like to eat on camera, which is usually disgusting when you're on a movie. The stuff you have to eat while you're in a scene because it's like warmed up by the prop crew somewhere. On this movie, it was like the most delicious stuff. I had to eat like beans all the time by the in the campfire scenes, you know, and I just could not get enough of those French beans. My gosh, they were so good.
So
it made for a windy day on set, but
so the director,
they were amazing beans.
Joaquin light a match. All right,
the director has a lot of influence on what kind of food you're going to eat on set.
Well, the whole team was French. We shot the movie in Spain and Romania and France. So even though it looks like the Pacific Northwest, it was shot in those places. So it was really cool. It was a really multicultural kind of a movie. It's in English, of course.
I was wondering about that.
An American story.
I've always wondered that about food and scenes, when the actors, you know, have to sit down and eat, because to make it look realistic, you would be eating during a scene. And how many takes would you do? And you don't want to eat this crap.
Yeah, that's something you learn as like a younger actor. You go through one of those experiences where you're like, I'm just going to eat this whole bowl of soup because that's what my character does.
Right.
I'm going to eat this whole thing. And then you're like, take 17. You're like, I think I need to vomit before we can go on. And so then as you get older, you're like, yeah, I think my character would just be picking at his plate. Like, he's already done, you know. He's come up with these strategies to keep yourself from getting sick.
So you're telling me you almost had a Blazing Saddles scene around the campfire then, basically all the beans, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, they were good. There was some black beans, some ham in there.
John C. Reilly with us. The movie is called The Sisters Brothers with Joaquin Phoenix. When's this available? When's this coming out?
It's out now. It's been out for a couple weeks. We're expanding into more theaters this weekend. But it's been open in Chicago for a while, and I'm hoping my hometown comes through on this one because it's something I'm really proud of. We're hoping we're hoping it just keeps expanding. We're getting into more and more theaters every weekend now.
Oh, confirm this for me. This is another reason I think I like you a lot, is because you're from Chicago, but you're not a Cubs fan.
Well, I'm from the South Side, so that's genetically predisposed towards the White Sox, I'm afraid. Yeah. Although I have played a Cubs fan on screen in Skull Kong Skull Island. I played a lifelong Cubs fan.
Oh, in Skull Island.
Which was very hard for me. It was a real stress.
Yeah. That was the best acting you ever did, huh? All right.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly, thanks for playing along with us, John. Good luck with the new movie, and we love everything you do. What is, I hate to say what is next, because I hate when I have to ask people that, because you've already busted your ass on this movie, but what is next?
Well, I have four movies coming out before January.
Oh,
so,
jeez.
Wow. Yeah, you'll be hearing from me again. You'll be sick of me by February. We've got Stan and Ollie, the Laurel and Hardy
story. Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
I saw the full preview of that. I'm glad you brought that up, because we just found that this morning we were talking to you, because it confirmed this morning, and that looks excellent, man. It's about their lives. It's not about just them on camera. It's about their lives.
Yeah, it's about their partnership behind the scenes and stuff, yeah.
All right.
And then we got Wreck-It Ralph 2 is coming out. Ralph Wrecks the Internet on Ralph Breaks the Internet on Thanksgiving, and then Holmes and Watson, me and Will Ferrell, back together this Christmas.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot. Nice. We'd love to see you.
Let's talk three or four times before the end of the year.
Right. Definitely. I'll be calling. I'll come by your houses. I'll just stay at your houses for a while.
I hope so.
We got beans
for
you.
That's why I do this promotion.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. John C. Reilly. That's excellent. Yeah. I forgot about the Stan and Ollie. That's Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, it does look really good. And it's about their lives. It isn't like... You know, I understand that we all love when they remade Three Stooges, but Three Stooges was just those guys being the Three Stooges. It wasn't about their lives.
Right.
This is about Laurel and Hardy's life and how they got to be partners and everything.
Oh, this is like based in fact?
Yeah, yeah. It's a biopic.
A biopic?
No, shut up.
I actually gained favor with my daughter last night when I told her we were interviewing John C. Reilly.
Because of Wreck-It Ralph?
I said, you know him as Ralph.
Yep.
And
Wreck-It.
First time I've ever impressed her. Yeah.
Show her Dewey Cox today.
Probably not.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.